Hello, and welcome to the Metro West Daily News Podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 16th, and I'm sitting here at the Metro West Daily News newsroom with Bill Shaner.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about a topic that is a little unpleasant, but it's kind of going along with what's been happening all over the country, and that is a few recent, I'm not sure if you want to call them hate crimes or kind of racially tinged incidents.
Racially tinged incidents is good.
Yeah, they're not really...
Not all of them fall exactly under the definition of hate crime, but
right.
They're in line with what we've been seeing around the country since Donald Trump was elected. The hateful speech, swastikas, that sort of thing. And we have three incidents of it locally since last Tuesday.
Yes.
I think that they were both in the beginning of this week. One was on Sunday, and the two others were on Monday and Tuesday. But, yeah, so we should run through those stories now.
So on Sunday, a Natick resident posted on Facebook a post that quickly went viral where he said that his he'd received these two letters through the mail that were basically telling his roommate, who is a student from Uganda, telling her to leave, that it's, you know, she's not welcome here, that kind of thing. And he was pretty outraged about it. He is a white guy, but he felt like this had no place in Natick. And he, like I said, he posted that on Facebook, and it really went viral, like, pretty quickly on social media. The second incident in Natick this week was yesterday, Tuesday. A young woman at Natick High School saw a racist message in the girls' bathroom where someone had said that a couple of teachers who were immigrants should be deported. So the young woman took a picture of the graffiti. She erased it, but she showed it to the school authorities. And they quickly denounced it and said they were investigating. And I should say here that the man on Facebook who posted the letters that he received went to the police, Natick police, on, I think it was Monday.
He went to the police on Monday,
and they said they are still investigating.
Right.
And then...
They're investigating it as a possible hate crime.
Right.
And that the police chief said that, you know, the letters had very clear racial overtones and threats, which if you've read them, we'll put them in the show notes. They clearly do.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty. And then also this week, a bunch of Milford residents woke up to find that the KKK newspaper, The Crusader, was delivered to their driveways. That also was investigated by Milford police, but they found that it was pretty indiscriminate. It's not like just the Jewish families or just families in Milford got that. It was just, it sounded like it was completely random. So
yeah,
you can still do that. Of course, First Amendment, free speech.
Yeah. It's just that story to me is the most interesting. It seems so left field that, or right field rather, that, the Ku Klux Klan would decide to distribute, what was it? It was only like a handful of papers, right?
Yeah, and they also delivered one to the police chief, which I assume must be a coincidence.
And to the Milford Daily
News. Yeah. That was about a month ago.
Right.
Zach Como, who works at the Milford office covering Milford, had tweeted a picture of the paper that they got. And I said that even they seem to be pretty pessimistic that Trump would lose. They too didn't think he would win. So, because it kind of said, like, you know, rest in peace, white Christian America, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah, it was pretty defeatist. We have Zach Como here, the Milford Daily News reporter that has been following this story. He's joining us by telephone, which is a new thing for us technologically. So bear with us if the audio is a little wonky. Zach, tell us a little bit about your reporting on this story.
So, this started with the help of you, actually. You sent me a screenshot of a Facebook post. So I reached out to that girl who I actually wrote about before for an unrelated story. So she told me a little bit about what happened. She is a member of the LGBT community, So she was, you know, very offended about seeing that in her driveway. It was.
It was in her driveway.
Yeah, it was like okay. It was rolled up with like a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had one in an envelope mailed to the Milford Daily News office. Actually, I took a picture. I tweeted it out when it happened. Didn't really think anything of it. The envelope was handwriting on the envelope, you know, with our address,
right,
and the return address of where that the headquarters is for. They call themselves the Knights Party. They're like a KKK affiliate, like the political wing of the KKK, I guess. Wow. So you know, the first thing I thought to do was call the police and ask, you know, what's going on here. So, you know, Chief Laughlin, you know, I guess he's, you know, very talkative. He said, yeah, we got one too. It was addressed to me personally. And, yeah, one was, you know, to Chief Tom Laughlin, Milford Police, on the envelope.
Wow.
Very weird. You know, he disposed of it immediately, as I'm sure most people did who found that. He said, he used the word a handful.
Okay.
How many? He could not give me a solid number.
Right.
Probably less than a dozen. I'm not sure. But that's only, you know, people who have reported it.
Right.
I'm sure some just, you know, saw it, didn't know what it was, threw it out.
Right.
Which is what I thought. I had no idea what it was until I actually started reading it, and it kind of dawned on me, what I was reading.
Did the chief have anything to say particularly about, you know, why Milford? Did he have any thoughts on that?
No, he said he's seen it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
That is a question I have for the leaders of that particular KKK sect.
Oh, you're in touch with them?
I've been emailing. Whenever you email them, you get this awful automatic reply. One of them actually got back to me and told me, you know, that she would try to get me in touch with this guy named Thomas Robb. He's a pastor and a national director for the Knights Party.
Oh, okay. So the paper is produced by that party?
Yes.
Are these local folks, or is this out of somewhere else?
This is out of Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Strange world.
And I you know, did as much internet research as I could, and I couldn't find any, you know, active KKK affiliates, you know, in this area.
Yeah.
Could it be someone just kind of screwing around? Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure why their return address would be on the envelopes then.
Right.
I did see, because, I mean, everyone's been reporting on this.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, you know, toot my own horn, but, you know, that's the first. Anyway. You know,
good job, Zach.
The Globe, the Telegram, any TV station in the area you can think of has been reporting on this. I believe I read somewhere that they said that the, you know, the Knights Party said they had nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
Huh. Well,
but, I mean, I've been trying to reach out to them just to confirm that. If that's the case, then I'm not really sure what to think of this.
Right.
Either way. I don't think anyone was happy.
Right. Well, it'll be really interesting to see how members of this organization respond to you, if and when they do. So we'll be keeping our eyes out for that story. Zach, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Have a good one, dude. Well, there you have it. That's interesting. It's going to be really kind of... It's almost bizarre that we have a reporter right now emailing with a KKK affiliate organization.
Yeah, when I was a reporter in Lexington back in 2009, the Westboro Baptist Church was going to protest a performance of the blanking on the name
about
now,
them.
The play about Matthew Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I did what you do as a reporter. You look them up and see if they have a phone number. And I called, and it was a very strange experience. I think it was talking to Shirley Phelps,
Okay.
Like the Fred Phelps's oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. I think that was who I was talking to. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of press people in my time, and she definitely was very forceful.
Oh.
And very, very talkative.
Right.
Very talkative.
She let you know how she felt.
I think I ended up hanging up on her because she just kept going. I mean, I try to be polite, but.
Right. Was it, could you describe it as a tirade?
Yes, I would call it a tirade.
Zach had a really funny a Facebook post about this story he's been working on about the KKK newspapers in Facebook. It made me chuckle last night. It's in an email thread with the KKK, hashtag 2016.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think that for a lot of people, we all kind of thought that racism wasn't that big of a deal anymore. Not to be so pat as to say that it was destroyed when Obama got elected, but
right.
It seemed like things were getting better. And I mean, I think they are, but it just seems stunning that every day I'm waking up and checking the news and seeing that, you know, if it's not here, it's somewhere else. And it's unfortunate. I think that, you know, you can have disagreements about political parties and what they may or may not want to accomplish, but to have people deliberately striking out against others in fear is pretty despicable.
I'm no historian, but I think that this could be interpreted years from now as kind of a backlash to Black Lives Matter.
I've heard the term that it's a white lash.
I think the way that it went down is that, you know, that started by people raising the point that, you know, we don't live in a colorblind society, in that there are these deep-seated racial issues in society and in police departments. And then this all feels like Trump kind of gave a voice to people who want to squash that. And there's been a lot of talk in the news since Trump was elected of white nationalism.
I mean, he picked Steve Bannon as his chief strategist.
Right.
And Steve Bannon, the former CEO of Breitbart, is a white nationalist.
He absolutely is. And it's very interesting. And these stories, I think, kind of demonstrate in a way that haven't since I've been working in local newspapers, the importance of local newspapers.
I mean, if you don't have your local news covering this kind of thing, you know, you're not necessarily going to know. And the other thing that, you know, we've definitely covered events that happened here that sometimes got national attention, but it's important to remember that we have the context and the background that a national reporter kind of hopping in here from somewhere else doesn't necessarily have. I can't think of any specific examples off the top of my head, but the kind of thing where, you know, we know what the background is. We know who the right people to talk to are. So, which is also, I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, I've been really hammering home the last week or so about trying to support your local newspaper. You know, not just the New York Times, not just the Washington Post, you know, not even just your largest Metro Daily, but your small town weekly paper, that they really could use your support too. And I said, I had like a little tweet storm about it, and I said, even if you think it's terrible, subscribe to it. You're a reader. You know, give them your feedback. Tell them that you think they should do this or that. And if you subscribe and get people to subscribe, they will have more money to start covering the things that matter to you.
I think that there are a lot of people after this election that feel downtrodden and afraid. And I think that, I mean, we've seen the way, even since he's been elected, Trump has come out against the New York Times. Every time they publish a story about him, he tweets that it's, you know, patently false. They're so unfair. And it really shows. I mean, we'll have to wait till January 20th to see how any of this talk plays out. But it shows that he doesn't have much respect for the Fourth Estate.
He does not. And he even has been he and his team have been completely avoiding the White House press corps.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of an underreported story. I've only seen little murmurs of that.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, on the one hand, to kind of play devil's advocate, that's kind of brilliant. I mean, he has them running around like they don't know where they're going. He apparently last night showed up to dinner at some New York restaurant, and the only reason that the press corps knew was because one of them happened to be having dinner there. It was totally a coincidence.
Wow.
But I think that, you know, and it gives him, he probably is chuckling high in his tower about how he's making them run around and dance. But
right.
On the other hand, you know, I think this could also backfire because journalists don't take well to being denied access. And the more he pushes back against having the press corps know where he is, then the more they're going to start digging into him. I mean, the press corps has been with presidents for a long time. They were there in the motorcade when Kennedy was assassinated. Mm-hmm. They were there when Reagan got shot. They were with Bush on 9/11. It's important for people to know where the president is. And okay, maybe if it's a national security thing, we all remember Bush was flown to an undisclosed location, or Cheney was, whoever, but you know, that's important to democracy too. And I think right away, the fact that Trump is not, well, even on his campaign, he didn't have the press travel with him.
Right.
Most candidates have the press travel with them in the same plane. They don't always go to the back and talk to them.
Right.
But they're there on the same plane. They go to all the press conferences. They go to the rallies. They go to all the events. And Trump's press corps was like stuck on the runway a couple times, and they completely missed covering his rallies. So that signaled right away what kind of president that he would be. And continuing like this, that where they just don't let anybody know where they're going to be is, you know, if you are a believer in the free press and a strong press, it's pretty disturbing.
Right. And I mean, his leadership is going to affect the people who admire him and who voted for him. And at a local level, that's concerning because everyone knows that the newspaper industry, especially small papers like the Metro West and Milford Daily News,
and our associated weeklies.
Yeah, and our associated weeklies are hurting. And I feel very much like if this thread of hate speech, hate crimes, a sort of awakening of white nationalist ideals in this area continues, we really need to be strong about bringing it to light.
Absolutely. And you know, you can make an argument that if it's allowed to go uncovered and unchecked, that it could grow. And, you know, I don't think the fact that the state overwhelmingly went to Hillary Clinton doesn't mean that this kind of thing can't happen here. I mean, plenty of people voted for Donald Trump here.
Yeah.
Plenty of people.
A few towns in the Milford area went to Trump.
Yeah, plenty of people.
Mendon and Bellingham.
Yeah, that I interact with and know in my daily life who live in Massachusetts are very strong Trump supporters. So,
and that's not to say that all Trump supporters, there are people, I did a story where I went out to talk to Trump supporters and after he won, and people had legitimate concerns and they believed legitimately that this president-elect would help them with that. I mean,
right. And it's not to say that people who voted for Trump,
you
think
aren't
that
default a white nationalist.
Right,
we
yeah,
don't
exactly. You're not a white nationalist just because you voted for Trump.
Deride you just because you supported Trump. I think that's very important. But I think that his rhetoric has also awakened some pretty dark forces that have festered in our society
for a long
time.
It's emboldening people. I mean, if people see that, oh, the president is saying this, or he's hiring people who say this kind of thing, then it's okay for me to say it.
Right. The president-elect mocked a disabled person on stage.
Which, to me, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
That wasn't immediately disqualified.
That wasn't the end. Howard Dean's candidacy sunk when he just said, "Bjah."
Like a little too loudly into the microphone. I know.
Yeah, it was just It's almost overwhelming, but we are the people tasked in this area with sorting through it and sorting through how it affects this area. So I feel very strongly that our work now is more important than it has been, at least since I've been doing it.
I agree. And I would also say that if you're listening to this and you are a regular reader and you have questions, complaints, issues that you want to discuss, you know, we want to hear from you.
I'd love if we could do call-ins. Like do it live, like a radio show.
That would be cool.
Yeah, But we lack the infrastructure.
This is to say, though, you know, if you are a subscriber and you've not been happy with stuff that we've covered or not covered, we want to hear from you. I feel like too often we hear from people that are just mad at us and or mad about something. We want to hear everything, even if you are mad at us, I should say.
Right.
Even if you are mad at us and you think our coverage is terrible, talk to us and let us know why and how we can make it better. You know, you can call the main number in the newsroom. It's 508-626-4412. You could ask to speak to an editor. You can ask for me or Bill specifically. We would love to hear from you, really. I genuinely mean that. Even if you think we are a rag barely fit to line your bird's cage, you know, we want to be better. We want to be the voice for the residents who live here and to cover the issues that they care about. And I mean, one of these issues is definitely, it's a small contingent, and I'm sure it will stay small, but the small contingent of people who are believers in white nationalism, white supremacy.
Every story we've been talking about today, there has been a backlash to it. And on Saturday, there's going to be a protest in the Natick Common at noon. It's called No Racism in Natick. And looks here like we have about 250 people interested in going. And I'm working on Saturday. I'll be covering that. I believe we also have one tonight.
There's one on Wednesday night, also at Natick Common. And it is sponsored by Natick Loves. I think the one on Saturday is a little more specifically geared toward anti-racism, whereas this one tonight, I believe I've been told by the organizers that it is a kind of pro-love and not really anti-anything. So they asked, you know, don't bring anti-Trump signs or anything like that. But Brian Benson will be there with the photographer tonight. So we will put that in the show notes when it goes live on our website.
And per our conversation about the work that we do, they link to our story about the possible hate crime in
the
Facebook post. Yes. Event details.
Very good.
So thank you.
But I don't think Milford is doing anything.
I don't know of anything in the Milford area. That to me is more like an oddity story than it is a real moral outrage. But it's kind of telling of the current climate.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot to pay attention to and a lot to keep your eyes peeled for.
So now it's time for our Around the Keurig.
Yay!
Might be a little less interesting without Brad here, but we will endeavor.
I know. I love Brad's picks for this.
I know. Brad
is always...
They're very very interesting. Brad reads so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like one of those parents who's like, haha, you don't have kids, you can read. But I read a part of a book this morning, and that was a miracle. So anyway, my Around the Keurig is kind of a two-parter. So I am a huge, obsessed, mega fan of the Broadway showstopper Hamilton. I saw it in August. It was amazing. It was everything that I had hoped for and more. And two great things have come out of Hamilton. Kind of one is Hamilton directly and one is Hamilton adjacent. And Hamilton, if you're not aware of it, is a hip-hop musical about the life and times of Alexander Hamilton, our first Secretary of the Treasury, creator of the Coast Guard, on the $10 bill. So the album from the show itself is awesome. It is just really amazing. Even if you're really not into hip-hop, I mean, I played it for my parents who took away several tapes of mine in the late 80s of some of the more nasty hip-hop, thought it was great. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is the writer of Hamilton, did a Hamilton mixtape with tons of big names like Sia. Is it Sia or Shia? See, I'm
Sia,
so old.
Sia.
Sia, Queen Latifah, Kelly Clarkson, Busta Rhymes. And so what they did was a couple of the songs that are on it are directly from the musical, that they're just kind of sung by someone different. And then a couple of them are kind of remixed. And
that's cool.
You can pre-order the album now and four tracks are available.
Yeah.
And they're great. If you are really into hip hop or anything like that, or R&B, they're really, really good The most recent one that they released was called Immigrants, They Get the Job Done, which is a riff from one of the songs in Hamilton, where Hamilton and the Marquis de Lafayette get ready to go on the battlefield at the Battle of Yorktown, and they kind of joke, you know, we're immigrants, but we're doing this. Yeah. So it's great. I really recommend it. You can pre-order it, like I said. And then the second one is another album by Leslie Odom Jr., who played Aaron Burr in the musical. He has an amazing, amazing voice. It is like silk and like, it's like if you're sitting down by a warm fire with a cup of hot cocoa and you're just so cozy, and then he would just sing, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I worked retail during Christmas for many years. I really, really, really don't like Christmas music. If you work, you know, 8 or 9 hour days, having to listen to Christmas music repeatedly for like weeks and weeks and weeks, you would feel the same way.
I was in a gas station down the street from my house, and Christmas music was playing, and the guy that was working said, my brain has already died.
Yeah. Yeah. So one year I had to listen to some Hawaiian album. Oh my God. Of Christmas music. It was like something, something is a way to say Hawaiian Christmas. I don't even know. It was terrible. Anyway, point being, Leslie Odom Jr. has released a Christmas album of traditional Christmas songs like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Right.
It is so good. I've only listened to it a little bit because it's not...
It's a testament to his voice.
Yes, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, so I'm not listening to Christmas carols, but I would definitely put this on while, you know, trimming the tree, and I would enjoy it. So you can get them both on iTunes. There are rumors that the Hamilton mixtape will be released on cassette, which made me laugh because I have literally no device where I could play a cassette.
My last car had a cassette.
Mine did too. So my last car did too.
I had some cassettes in there.
I think that my parents might still have a boombox somewhere. But I thought that Lin-Manuel Miranda said, oh, you know, it'll be released on vinyl. I'm thinking, like, yeah, you can get a record player. But if it's on cassette, who has cassette players? But your parents probably do. Check your attic.
Right.
So anyway, those are my recommendations for the week.
I'm going to take this one in a different direction today. I'm going to talk about some food that I had yesterday. Yesterday was my day off. It is this little place in Worcester called Belmont Vegetarian. And it's just one Jamaican guy in the back, and he makes the most incredible vegan food I've ever had, ever. It's what you do is you order...
And we should say here, you're not vegan, right?
No.
Yeah.
I like vegan food. My girlfriend's vegan. I try to cook it and eat it as much as I can because I think it's a pretty righteous thing to do, even though I just love meat, so I'm never going to be vegan. But I like vegan food, too. I just like all food. Anyway, you get either a $12 tin or a big $15 tin, and he has, like, 8 things written on the chalkboard, and you just order those, and it comes over rice. So I got pepper unsteak, which is like a fake meat, like a tempeh, and a really good barbecue sauce, collard greens, a veggie stew, and a black bean and smoked tofu mix all over a bed of rice. And it is just the most wonderful Jamaican jerk flavors. And there's no meat, and you don't feel like crap after you eat it, even though it's a lot of food.
That is a win.
So, yeah. Anyone who's interested in vegan food, or even if you've never had vegan food, this would be the place to start. Belmont Vegetarian. It is on, I don't know the name of the street.
We will find it, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put the address in the show notes, but it's great. Check it out. That's all I got.
Thanks for listening to the Metro West Daily News Podcast. This episode was produced by Megan Kelly and Bill Shaner and was edited by Bill Shaner. Music is done by the Milford area band Born Without Bones. And don't forget to check us out online. We're at MetroWestDailyNews.com/podcast. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Metro West Daily. We also would really love a rating and review in iTunes. So if you haven't done that yet, if you could go do that, that would really help us get more visibility on iTunes and help more people find our show. Thanks. Someone's throwing stones at my window. I know that face, but I can't recall them. As I come down my roof, I slip and fall. Sometimes I feel that I feel nothing.
to every door that I